Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Maytag laundry appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your home's unique needs and style. Shop Maytag 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Dr. Wolf, may I inquire, Your Honor?
Yes.
Dr. Wolf, where are we on the chart? I've lost my place.
I think hypothesis.
Okay. Let's describe, if you would, please, what role hypothesis plays in the general scientific method.
So generally, it's like I said, it's an if-then statement. So if you make a statement, if the arm contacts the taillight, then the taillight will shatter, right? So you want to do tests and experimentation and analyze that data to see whether you can accept or reject that hypothesis.
And what's the next stage?
So as I mentioned, after hypothesis, it's once you've determined that, what your hypothesis is, you want to test with experimentation, analyze that data, and that certainly may be an iterative process that you do multiple times to then be able to draw a conclusion from that analysis and testing.
What's the next stage?
To basically report those conclusions and findings.
Why is it important to report those conclusions and findings?
Well, I think so that you can, whether you can accept or reject the hypothesis that was put forward earlier.
Do you have to analyze the data following the testing that you undertake?
Yes, like I mentioned, I think it's an iterative process, because certainly you could do one test and it may not be clear what the answer is at that point. So you may have to do additional tests to basically parametrically evaluate your hypothesis.
Did you see this let me ask you first, did you undertake this scientific method with regard to your reconstruction or your testing in this case?
Yes.
Did you observe this same scenario in Dr. Welch's report?
Sustained as to that form, Mr. Jackson.
Did you see this undertaken anywhere else?
Objection.
Sustained there.
Did you look for testing in Dr. Welch's evaluation, all of his data?
Yes.
Did you find any?
No.
Other than the static blue paint test?
That was the only test, correct.
Did you see any force dynamics testing?
That's leading, so you can get to it without that.
What about any other testing? Anything else that we've talked about? Do you see anything else done in Dr. Welch's report?
As it pertains to an analysis to the taillight and the damage and the forces, no.
Let's move on to the next slide. Did you actually undertake testing in furtherance of the scientific method?
Yes.
Let's move on to the next slide and you can describe what we're talking about. What are we looking at here?
So you're looking at a test matrix of the various tests that we conducted at ARCA. I could go through them one by one if you want.
Let me ask you foundationally, was your testing directed toward determining whether or not the scenario proposed in Dr. Welch's report was consistent or inconsistent with what you would find, ultimately?
The objection sustained.
Was your testing specifically designed to determine whether the damage to Ms. Reed's vehicle, her Lexus, was consistent with the scenario that was proposed by Dr. Welcher?
Yes.
That's sustained too. Ask it differently, Mr. Jackson.
What was your testing, what were you engaged in terms of your testing? What were you trying to find out?
Well, I think it was to, again, we talked about earlier about that hypothesis, right? My understanding, Dr. Welcher indicated that the arm contacted the taillight, but there was no analysis or testing to determine what's the expected outcome of that? What's the damage to the taillight?
So you answered the first question. I'm striking that second part. Ask another question.
Was there anything else?
I think simply put, it's to find out what happens when you impact an arm with a Lexus taillight at various speeds. What happens?
What was your understanding of Dr. Welcher's hypothesis?
That's sustained.
Did you have an understanding of Dr. Welcher's hypothesis?
That's sustained too.
Ultimately, what were you trying to find out through your testing?
As I mentioned, I think it was to determine when you impact a taillight at 10 miles an hour, 15 miles an hour, 25 miles an hour, what happens to the taillight? What's the expected damage? What happens to a sweatshirt when it makes contact with that? What happens to the fragments? How does the arm move? What's the acceleration of the arm? What's the change in speed of the arm? And certainly, as I mentioned, my colleague, Dr. Rentschler, will discuss what are the expected injuries in that type of impact?
Did you see any of those questions answered in Dr. Welcher's report?
Yes.
Ask it differently.
What did you see in terms of Dr. Welcher's report as it relates to those types of questions?
That's sustained.
Ultimately, did you undertake a methodology to perform the testing to answer the questions that you've just explained needed to be answered for this jury?
Yes.
Describe that, please.
So we started out, we kind of worked at this incrementally, right? We didn't start right off the bat with utilizing an exemplar Lexus going right into an ATD or a test dummy, right? We wanted to start in the laboratory to have an understanding what happens at a range of speeds, in this instance, in our first two tests, between 10 and 17 miles per hour, right? What happens, what kind of damage do we observe, right? At 10 miles an hour, do we even break the light? At 17, what kind of damage do we get? What kind of accelerations do we get? And then we moved up to full-scale vehicle impact testing.
Is that methodology that you just described generally accepted in the field of accident reconstruction, in the broader field of engineering?
Absolutely. Everything from utilizing an instrumented test dummy to using an exemplar vehicle, to all the data acquisition systems that we had in the laboratory, as well as the vehicle, all of that is generally accepted techniques in the field of accident reconstruction to evaluate what we did in this case.
And are those techniques also supported by peer-reviewed articles in scientific literature related to accident reconstruction?
Yes.
Did you rely on this methodology that you just described to render opinions and conclusions as it relates to this case?
Yes.
Have you relied on that same methodology in rendering opinions and conclusions in other courts?
Yes.
Let's go to the next slide, please. What are we looking at here?
So we've gone over this before, but this is looking at the exemplar vehicle that we utilize for the latter part of our testing. You're looking at the, again, just annotating where the lift gate taillight is, as well as the quarter panel taillight.
When you say exemplar vehicle, what is this SUV that we're looking at?
So it's the same year, make, and model of the subject vehicle. So it's a 2021 Lexus LX 570. So it's the same weight, same geometry, same as the subject vehicle.
Is this a picture off the internet, or do you actually have access to this truck?
We have access to that vehicle, yes.
And ultimately, what testing did you undertake specifically as it relates to this particular vehicle?
We did full-scale vehicle testing with the vehicle driving into an ATD arm, as well as an ATD arm attached to a dummy, and then a full-on impact to a test dummy.
Did you assess the damage to the right taillight after these various tests?
Yes, after all of the tests.
Did you assess the acceleration and quantify the forces that were involved?
Yes.
Did you assess the material and textile damage to the clothed ATD?
Yes.
Ultimately, did you conduct lab tests in an effort to answer some of these questions as well?
Yes.
And you've already mentioned this, but you utilized in your testing the exemplar vehicle to the fullest extent that you felt necessary?
Absolutely,
were
yes.
Were you hampered or hindered in any way in terms of damaging the vehicle or utilizing the vehicle in any way that you wished?
No.
Let's go to the next slide, please. What are tests A and B? What are those laboratory tests?
So these were the initial two tests that we did to get an idea of starting to test this hypothesis. As I mentioned, we weren't sure at 10 miles an hour what would happen to the taillight. We wanted to see what would happen at 17 miles an hour with the arm. So again, it was to evaluate from a starting point what happens in this interaction based upon how Dr. Welcher had his arm oriented in his PowerPoint and analysis.
Next slide, please. What is this?
So you're looking at a photograph of our lab setup. You can see on the left side of that is our Hybrid 3 anthropomorphic test device. To the right is a linear impactor, and this is something we already have in-house that what we built years ago for our testing that we do for the National Hockey League when we're looking at, you know, what's the accelerations on an impact to a goalie wearing a helmet, right? We use this same device for that type of testing to measure head acceleration. So we applied this same linear impactor to be able to project, if you will, or accelerate the taillight at a known speed into the ATD arm.
What are some of the instrumentation that you use in addition to the mechanical impactor? What's some of the instrumentation you use to track the data?
Certainly. So you can see, I'll get my, see where I'm here. So at the top here, there's a blue camera here. There's another blue camera here. So these are our high speed cameras. And you'll see there's a bunch of lights around those high speeds. That's just because the frame rate's so high. And again, it's only sampling, you know, a very, very short amount of time. So you have to have a lot of light when you do these high speed tests. So we have the high speed cameras running. We have an accelerometer mounted to the ATD arm here on the other side. So that's some of the instrumentation. There's also a couple other cameras that we're documenting this overall.
Can we move to the next slide, please? What are we looking at in these photographs?
So this is looking at, and not to be confused, this wasn't the arm position when the impact occurred. This is just showing you the setup. So on the left is just kind of an overall shot. And then on the right is, right here, is a uniaxial accelerometer. So that's going to measure, and we talked about that term earlier, right? The acceleration. So that's going to measure how quickly is this arm changing its speed, right? What's the acceleration of the arm as it's impacted?
Does that accelerometer put into motion some of the mathematical formulations that you talked about earlier?
Yes.
Let's move to the next slide, please. Tell me about this, these photographs.
So the importance of this is, more specifically looking at the right photograph here, might be a little bit hard to see, but we wanted to get the same exact sweatshirt or hoodie for the testing to evaluate if the taillight breaks, is there a mechanism for the fragments to penetrate and cause holes in the sweatshirt as were observed in Mr. John O'Keefe's sweatshirt?
Next slide. Were you successful in finding the exact replica sweatshirt?
Yes, and I will note, as I mentioned, I know it probably is hard to see, but the material blend on the sleeves are the exact same. They are 60% cotton and 40% polyester.
Was it important in your mind to maintain consistency with the data that you had received concerning John O'Keefe's clothing?
Certainly. I think we wanted to try to control as many variables as we could.
Let's move to the next slide, please. Test A. Describe Test A for us, please.
So you're going to see a series of photographs and then videos, but Test A was mounting a preconditioned taillight on that linear impactor to accelerate it into the Hybrid 3 arm to, again, evaluate the damage to the taillight and the acceleration to the arm.
Let's move to the next slide, please. What are we looking at in these photographs?
So you're looking on the left, a photograph just before the impact test was conducted. On the right, you're looking at a thermal image that is depicting the temperature profile of the taillight.
Describe that thermal image.
Certainly. Your Honor, may I refer to my notes?
Yes.
So what I did is I analyzed the profile of the temperature down in this area. And when we look at that segment, that lower portion here, where contact was made, the average temperature in that area was about 34 degrees with a minimum of about 33 degrees.
How did you get that exemplar taillight down to around freezing?
So all of the taillights that we tested were preconditioned overnight in a freezer.
Why was that important?
Well, it's my understanding that at the time that this allegedly occurred, the ambient temperature was 31 degrees Fahrenheit. So, as I mentioned earlier, certainly there's a correlation between how plastics perform in cold weather. So we wanted to take that variable into account in our testing to precondition them down to temperatures that were consistent with at the time of the alleged incident.
Next slide, please. What are we looking at in this slide, on this photograph?
So this is a video. Do you want me to go ahead and play the video?
Tell us what we're about to see, and then I'll ask the court's permission.
So you were looking at a camera that is mounted above the entire setup. If you look at the top portion of this video, you will see the taillight. Part of it's covered by the high-speed camera. But what will happen is the linear impactor will fire, and the taillight will be accelerated up to 10 miles per hour, striking the clothed ATD arm.
With the court's permission.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and play the video. Next slide, please. What is this?
So this is also a video, but with the high-speed camera. So it's the high-speed camera that's looking top down at the arm. So you will see when the video plays, you will see the taillight enter from the left and contact the arm. And I will note that this is essentially slow mode, so it's not happening in real time. So you'll see the taillight slowly moving, but it's actually in reality moving at 10 miles per hour.
Understood. Go ahead and play that. Can I ask a question now that that's played? How did you mount the taillight to the accelerator, that linear accelerator?
Right, so we had to get a little bit creative there because you may have observed this when we had the physical assembly out earlier. The back of that, it's not some nice clean surface that we can just bolt on. So what we had to do is 3D print a bracket that we could bolt onto the linear impactor, and we used a polyurethane expanding foam to be able to marry those two together so that we could then bolt it onto the linear impactor to use it for this test.
Did you see any debris from that foam mounting mechanism?
Yes, there's a few flakes you can see of that polyurethane foam off the backside kind of going into the, being dispersed there.
Okay. With regard to this particular 10-mile-an-hour test, what did you note in terms of the damage to the taillight?
It was very minimal.
And what did you note in terms of any damage at all to the hoodie?
There was none.
Can we go to the next slide, please? What are we looking at in this slide?
So this is looking at a side view, so same test, just looking at it from the side. And similarly, you'll see the taillight come from the left and impact the arm.
If we could play this, please. What did you note in terms of deflection of the arm, the test arm?
Well, the arm essentially, and we'll see this in the data later, it reaches a common velocity with the taillight based upon the portion of the arm that was contacted, again, consistent with how Dr. Welcher has it oriented, it will become accelerated up to 10 miles an hour, roughly.
Over approximately what period of time is that arm accelerated up to 10 miles an hour along with the taillight?
We'll see it on the data plots. I think it's about 10 milliseconds or so.
How long, do you know how long an eye blink on average takes?
Off the top of my head, no, I don't. Probably pretty quick.
Somewhere around 250 milliseconds. Does that sound right?
Sustained.
Let's move to the next slide, please. What are we looking at in this series of photographs?
So these are extracted frames from the high-speed video that we just saw on the previous slide, basically showing just at contact, just after contact, and then post-contact, so you can see the kinematics of the arm and how the arm is moving.
Okay. Let's move to the next slide, please. What is this photograph?
So this is photographs taken of the taillight after the 10-mile-an-hour test. I will note that there was a couple small fragments of the clear portion of the assembly, the outer lens that was missing from that turn signal area towards the left here. There's a couple fragments missing, and then there was some small fracturing here in that area.
How would you describe the damage to the taillight in the 10-mile-an-hour test?
If I may go to the next slide, I think it might.
Sure.
So this was the totality of that damage at 10 miles per hour. So I would describe it as minimal and superficial.
Okay. Next slide, please. What is this?
So this is the photograph that I just shown you compared to that of the subject taillight so that you can have a side-by-side comparison of the test taillight compared to that of the subject.
Were you able to reach any opinions and conclusions about whether the damage to the subject taillight is consistent with striking an arm at 10 miles an hour?
It's inconsistent, in my opinion.
Next slide, please. This is still test A, is that correct?
Correct.
Were you able to reach any opinions or conclusions as to whether or not the damage to Mr. O'Keefe's clothing is consistent with being struck by the taillight at 10 miles per hour?
What I observed from the test is that there was no mechanism to create any of the holes that we observed on the subject sweatshirt.
Do you hold that opinion to a reasonable degree of scientific certainty?
Yes.
As well as the former opinion that you just gave us?
Yes.
Next slide, please. What are we looking at in this graph?
So this is a graph that shows the roughly, on the next graph, you're going to see a 24 millisecond window. So what I want to show you on this graph is what does that look like over a full second so you can have an appreciation of just how quickly this is occurring. As you mentioned earlier, I think your comment about a blink of an eye, this is even shorter than that. We're looking at, as you'll see on the next graph, again, it spans over just a few milliseconds. So that yellow tick that you see in the middle there, what I've done is I've plotted that over a full second. So 1 second is equal to 1,000 milliseconds. So if we go 500 milliseconds to the right, 500 milliseconds to the left, This whole graph represents 1 second in time. This impact duration is occurring very quickly.
1 second, is that reflected from the beginning of the graph to the end of the graph? That's representative of 1 second, is that right?
Correct. So starting at this y-axis all the way to here is 1 second in time, with our impact duration happening over just a few milliseconds.
And this was at 10 miles an hour?
Yes.
Next slide, please. What are we looking at in this graph?
So we're looking at the acceleration or the change in speed over time, that parameter that we discussed earlier. So what you can see is that as the arm is impacted, we had the accelerometer mounted on the inside portion of the forearm, if you will. You see that it starts to accelerate, right? Because it's changing its speed, and then it starts to level off after the impact has subsided, basically, and it's reached a common velocity.
What do we see in terms of the G-forces that the arm is subject to?
So the peak is occurring right around here at about, looks like just over 6 milliseconds. And the peak acceleration is just over 130 Gs.
And what does that mean? What is a G?
So a G is acceleration due to gravity. So if we're being held down by 1 G, so you could think of it as basically a multiplication factor, that it's 131 times the acceleration due to gravity.
And the next slide, please. What are we looking at in this slide?
So this is, again, that concept that we talked about earlier, delta V. This is the change in speed. So if we do some math to the previous data that we collected, it's a technique called integration, but we can actually add up all of that acceleration to determine what speed did the arm get up to. And when we do that calculation to this data, what we see is that initially at the impact, right, the arm's at rest, right, Newton's law, first law. And then we impart a force on it in terms of the taillight impacting it. It's going to cause the arm to accelerate and change its speed. So as I noted earlier, it's essentially going to reach a common velocity with the impact force based upon how Dr. Welcher has the arm oriented. And we can see that it's a tick over 10 miles per hour at just over 10 milliseconds. So that means that the arm in a 10 millisecond period is going from zero up to about 10 miles per hour, which was the speed of the impact.
And 131 times the force of gravity is exerted on the arm at the same time?
Sustained is to that form.
Where does gravity play into this? What is the 131 Gs? Where's that force exerted?
So that is the acceleration that the arm experienced as a result of that impact. So that's how quickly it was changing in speed.
Understood. Let's go to the next slide.
So is this a good place to take the morning recess? All right, folks, we'll take a recess. Dr. Wolfe can file our adjourners. I'm going to see counsel regarding just scheduling, please.
All rise for the court, please.
All right, 20 minutes.
Court, all rise. Back in session, you may be seated.
Okay, are you all set, Dr. Wolfe?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. All right, Mr. Jackson.
Thank you, Your Honor. Before Dr. Wolfe, before we get into laboratory test B, I failed to ask you, were you compensated or was ARCA paid following the proceeding last year for any of the time?
Yes, last year.
Yes. Last year?
Correct, yes.
Do you know how much that was?
From what I recall, I think it was around $20,000.
Was ARCA paid by the defense your initial testing, the initial analysis we talked about earlier this morning? Was ARCA paid by the defense for any of that?
No, not the report, testing, none of that.
Okay. What were you paid for last year related to the first proceeding?
My time to appear at the proceeding.
Travel?
Correct. Travel, testimony. Okay. Yes, sir.
So the form, Mr. Jackson?
Sure. What about now? Have you been paid any additional sums by the defense specifically for your undertaking that you're testifying about today?
Yes.
About how much have you been paid?
I think when I spoke to accounting, I think they indicated it was around $50,000.
Okay. Let's talk about laboratory test B, as in Bravo. If I may have just a moment, Your Honor.
Sure.
What was different about lab test B as opposed to lab test A?
So the tests were essentially identical, aside from the speed increase going from 10 up to 17.
Okay. Let's take a look at the next slide. Just so I'm clear, Doctor, I want to make sure I'm on the same slide as you. Is this slide 35 pursuant to your notes?
This is slide 36.
36, got it. Okay. We could be a little bit more brief, I think, because is this similar to the 10 mile an hour test just with increased velocity?
Correct.
Okay. What about the purple hued taillight on the right? What is that?
So again, that is a thermal image depicting the temperature profile of the right taillight that was tested.
And I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to note that the average temperature profile of the taillight here in this test was approximately 30 degrees Fahrenheit.
Is that below freezing?
It is, yes.
And the ATD, the test dummy, if you will?
Yes.
Is it also clothed?
Correct, yes. With a, you may notice a difference in the sweatshirt color. We put on a new sweatshirt in this test.
Was it also an exact replica of the sweatshirt at issue worn by John O'Keefe? I'll ask it a different way. How did it compare to the sweatshirt that was worn by John O'Keefe?
It was made by the same company and had the same material blend as the previous test and the one that Mr. John O'Keefe was wearing.
Next slide, please. What are we looking at here?
So this will be a video. You will see, much like you did in the other one, where the taillight will be accelerated up to 17 miles an hour, impact the arm. And one of the things you'll see is actually an artifact of the test, if you will, where the taillight, due to the fact that the impactor stops at the end of the stroke, that force actually causes it to decouple from that polyurethane foam that we use to adhere the two.
What do you mean by decouple? What does that mean?
So, as I mentioned, it once the linear impactor reaches the end of its stroke, it stops instantaneously, and the force of that stop just caused where we adhered the two together, just caused it to detach, basically break away. So it, in essence, it doesn't matter because we only care about that. Remember, we're talking about that short duration of time, that 10 milliseconds. So once it breaks, it's already reached a common velocity to the taillight.
Okay. Can we go ahead and go to the next slide, please? What do you note about this impact?
So one of the things you'll see is kind of that dust cloud that you see. Again, that's all the particulates from the expanding foam that we use. So that's kind of what you see in the background there, kind of going over kind of the arm and the taillight there.
Do you note more damage or less damage to the taillight at 17 miles an hour versus the 10 mile an hour test?
There is more damage, yes.
Let's go to the next slide, please. What are we looking at here?
So you're looking at a top-down view from the high-speed camera. You'll see the taillight enter from the left, impacting the arm at about 17 miles per hour.
Okay, go ahead and play it. Can you describe the decoupling that's shown here?
Absolutely. So as you can see where the two are basically married together, right? It's kind of actually coming back together now. So that bond that we had, right? This is the most effective way that we could mount it to the impactor. It just became detached due to the force of that impactor stopping at the end of the stroke.
Understood. Next slide, please. What are we looking at here?
So in this slide, you're looking at another high-speed video. This is just a side view. Again, you're going to see the taillight enter the frame from the left, impacting the arm at 17 miles per hour.
Is this in slow motion as well?
This is in slow motion, correct. Not real time.
Okay. What do you note in terms of the deflection on the arm?
The arm, as we saw in the previous one, is accelerated up, so it's moving now at roughly a common velocity with what the impact speed was.
And what did you note about the damage to the taillight?
It was more significant than the 10-mile-an-hour test, which, again, there was very minimal damage to that, where several fragments of that red outer lens fractured as well as the clear lens.
Okay, next slide. And what is this depicting?
This is extracted frames from the previous video, just showing right at contact, during contact, and post-contact.
Next slide, please. What is this a photograph of?
This photograph is depicting the damage to the taillight at the conclusion of the test, where, again, it's missing fragments of the outer red lens. I will note that the interior diffusers and plastic components are intact in this test.
When you say intact, what do you mean?
They are not damaged or broken.
At all?
Correct, at all.
Next slide, please. What is that a picture of?
Another photograph showing the taillight post-test. Again, no damage to the underlying diffusers in terms of being cracked, shattered, or broken.
And what did you note in terms of the damage to the outer acrylic, the red piece?
It broke into a few fragments, and I think on the next slide I depict those in a photograph.
Let's take a look at them. What is that?
So this is a photograph depicting the collection of the fragments post-test. I will note there's one clear piece, one red piece, another clear piece, and then there is one more red piece in this bag. So the outer lens broke into approximately four pieces in the 17 mile per hour test. And I'll point out one other thing, just because you can see it in the photograph. This is that 3D printed bracket that we used to bolt it onto the linear impactor with the foam on the other side that mounted it to the taillight.
Thank you for that. Next slide, please. What is this a picture of, or pictures of?
This is a side-by-side comparison showing a depiction of the 17-mile-an-hour test impact to the test taillight, comparing it to that of the subject taillight.
Were you able to reach any conclusions or opinions as to whether or not the damage to the subject taillight on the right is consistent with striking an arm at 17 miles per hour?
It's inconsistent from a damage perspective.
What's the basis of that opinion?
The test that I've just showed you all.
Was that testing that we've just talked about conducted in accordance with the scientific literature and generally accepted methodologies that you've earlier described?
Yes.
Is the damage to the right rear taillight consistent with striking John O'Keefe's arm at 17 miles per hour?
No.
Do you hold that opinion to a reasonable degree of scientific certainty?
Yes.
Slide 45, please. What is this?
You're looking at photographs post-test of the sweatshirt that the ATD was wearing at the time of the impact.
Is this the 17 mile an hour impact?
Correct, yes.
Did you note any defects in the fabric of the right arm?
There were no punctures, holes, or fraying of the material during this impact test.
Based on this testing that you conducted in this case, is the damage that you saw of the shirt that John O'Keefe was wearing consistent or inconsistent with the shirt that's on the ATD?
It was inconsistent compared to the sweatshirt that Mr. John O'Keefe was wearing.
Based on that, do you have an opinion or a conclusion as to whether or not the damage on Mr. O'Keefe's clothing was consistent with being struck by the right rear taillight at 17 miles per hour?
It is inconsistent.
Next slide, please. What is this graph depicting?
So going back to these terms that we've talked about, this is the acceleration trace of the 17 mile an hour impact test. And you can see that we reach a peak acceleration at around 5 milliseconds, and that's at about almost 270 Gs.
You said 270 Gs?
Correct.
Or 217?
270.
Thank you.
70.
Did that have any significance on your analysis?
Yes.
What was that?
Well, we can use that to estimate, obviously we can integrate that to get the speed, but we can also estimate the force applied to the taillight with that information.
Can we go to the next slide, please? What is the delta V as it relates to the 17 mile an hour lab test?
So you can see, again, the arm initially at rest is accelerated up, increasing in speed, and then reaches just about 16 miles per hour, so reaching nearly a common velocity with the taillight at about 8 milliseconds in time.
Next slide, please. Did you conduct additional tests other than the two lab tests that we've talked about?
Yes, sir.
Describe just in general, and then we'll talk in more specifics, what were the tests that you undertook after the lab tests?
So we conducted two tests with a suspended ATD arm that was impacted by an exemplar 2021 Lexus LX570. We then conducted a test where the arm was then attached to a test dummy, and then our final test was a full-on impact to a test dummy.
Can we go to slide 48, please? What are we looking at in this slide?
This is the exemplar 2021 Lexus LX570 that was utilized during this test program.
Was this the same vehicle that was utilized in all the tests, C, D, E, and F?
Correct, yes.
If we could go to slide 49, the next slide. What's depicted in this photograph?
Well, so there's a number of things here, so I'll try to point them all out. So obviously, we talked about just now the Lexus here, the exemplar vehicle. We have a forklift that was hoisted up that ultimately was suspending the arm. I have an additional photograph that shows it close up. But the arm was suspended from the forklift at the correct height to interact with the taillight. We have our high-speed cameras set up under this umbrella. There's another one over here. Another thing you'll note is we brought out the chest freezer when we were installing these in the Lexus to, again, keep them at that steady state temperature for as long as possible.
If we could go to the next slide, please. What are we looking at in this photograph?
So this is the approximate position that we plan to have contact occur in these tests. So as you could see, the forearm is in contact with the lift gate and the quarter panel taillight along with the elbow.
Why did you choose this configuration for the arm, the forearm, the hand, the elbow?
It was based upon my review of Dr. Welcher's work and that he did through his static and dynamic test or paint test that this is how the arm was roughly oriented when the alleged contact occurred.
What were you trying to replicate in positioning the arm this direction, this way, as it relates to the SUV?
Well, I think as I stated earlier, it was to understand, you know, okay, let's get beyond just simple geometry aligning things. What happens to the arm, right? What are the accelerations? What's the damage, right? What we want to answer some of those other questions that Dr. Welcher didn't answer.
Does this...
So I'm going to strike the last part of that answer.
Does this configuration align with your understanding of Dr. Welcher's alignment of the arm as it relates to the vehicle?
Okay.
Existing.
May we approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you, Your Honor. May I inquire?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to the next slide. This may be self-explanatory. What was the speed of your first test out in the field?
15 miles per hour.
Next slide, please. What are we looking at in these two photographs?
So on the left is a photograph of the installed preconditioned taillights just after the install, and on the right is a thermal image of that. And if I may just point out with the temperature. So one of the things you may see here is that due to the reflective chrome here, this is just an artifact of that being really reflective. So when we look at the average temperature profile of the taillight for this test, the average was approximately 17 degrees Fahrenheit for the taillight.
Was it important in this testing to account for the temperature variance of the taillight assembly?
Yes, absolutely. And I will note we certainly strive to maintain that. One of the things you actually may see in this photograph on the left are these pellets on the ground. And that is due to the fact during the installation process, one of my colleagues was positioned adjacent to that, to the taillight fixtures, applying a compress of dry ice to help mitigate any heat transfer during the install process.
Let's move on to the next slide. What are we looking at in this overhead view?
This is a drone video, so you're going to see the Lexus accelerate from left to right, impacting the hybrid suspended arm in the area where you could see the umbrella.
Can you use your spotlight and orient us? Where are the vehicles and the testing locations?
Yes. So the Lexus is starting here. You will see it accelerate in reverse with the hybrid arm suspended in this area here.
Okay. Is this a video or just a still shot?
This is a drone video.
Let's go ahead and play that. Dr. Wolf, is that in real time or slowed down, sped up?
This is in real time.
Okay. Next video, please. What is this?
This is a camera that was mounted on top of the forklift that was suspending the arm.
Is this a still shot or is it a video?
It's a video.
What is the orientation of that arm as it relates to the vehicle that we'll see?
So it will make contact with the taillight, although I will note in this test, ultimately the contact ended up being more of a clip or a sideswipe in this test.
Go ahead. Did you see the impact area?
It's quick.
Right. What did you mean when you said more of a sideswipe or a clip?
So I think the next couple of videos will help demonstrate that.
Let's move on to the next one. What are we looking at in this video? Or, I'm sorry, in this photograph.
So this is going to be a high speed or a slow-mo video. You're going to see the Lexus come in from the right and then move across the screen to the left. And you'll see contact occur between the taillight and the arm.
Okay. Can you explain for the jurors using this video what you meant by more of a sideswipe or a clip?
Right, so this is where the hand and the wrist are kind of in the area of the quarter panel taillight, and then a portion of the forearm in contact with, the wrist and the hand in contact with the lift gate portion of the taillight, and then on the forearm is more in contact with the quarter panel taillight.
Okay, can we move to the next slide? And what is this angle?
This is, same test, just a different angle in with the high-speed cameras in slow motion.
And this is at 15 miles per hour, correct?
15 miles an hour, correct.
Can you explain for the jurors, given the fact that this is suspended, does that have any impact on the ultimate analysis or reconstruction, rather than being attached to an ATD?
Effectively, mass is mass. So whether we have an arm that is suspended or attached, again, it's the arm is on a joint, right? So the arm can accelerate freely of the rest of the body, right? So if anything, even if it is attached to the body, there may actually be some additional force associated with that just because there could be more mass attached to it.
Understood. Okay, let's go ahead and play this video. Thank you. Can we go to the next slide, please? What are we looking at in these three photographs?
So you're looking at, on the left, starting from left to right, just at contact, and then just after contact, and then post-contact. So as I mentioned, you can see that in this first one at contact, again, we don't have, the hand isn't, and the arm aren't positioned as far out on the previous tests, and the hand is in the area and the wrist of the lift gate taillight with part of the forearm in contact with the quarter panel taillight. And as you saw in the video, essentially the arm just kind of moves out of the way of the vehicle as it comes by.
Understood. Next slide, please. What are we looking at here?
This is a photograph of the test vehicle subsequent to the test depicting the, I'll say, lack of damage to the taillights.
Describe the what you did see in terms of damage or lack of damage on the taillight.
There was no damage or fracturing to the taillights.
Describe the orientation of the arm in this particular test that you said was more of a side swipe. What was the orientation of the arm to the taillight in terms of how much of the arm touched the taillight? That's probably a clunky question, but I think you understand it.
I don't know if I could break it down into, I think just qualitatively speaking, like I said, it appears to be the hand and the wrist and kind of the lower portion of the forearm, maybe to the mid forearm or so.
So nothing on the upper arm?
Correct.
Making contact?
Correct, nothing on the upper arm, yes.
Okay. If we can move past this slide and onto the next slide. What is this depicting?
So this is depicting the test taillights of the 15 mile per hour impact into the hybrid arm compared to that of the subject taillight.
Was there any notable damage at all on the on the exemplar taillight following test C at 15 miles an hour?
The only thing there may have been was some very slight abrasions maybe to the plastic, but there certainly was no breaking or fracturing of the lens assembly.
Were you able to reach any opinions or conclusions as to whether the damage to the subject taillight is consistent with striking an arm at 15 miles per hour?
In this test, it was inconsistent.
Even in a side swipe?
Correct.
Was that testing that we just saw done in accordance with scientific literature and generally accepted methodologies in the area of accident reconstruction?
Yes.
Is the damage to the right rear taillight of the subject vehicle consistent with striking John O'Keefe's arm at 15 miles per hour in a side swipe configuration?
It's inconsistent.
Do you hold that opinion to a reasonable degree of scientific certainty?
Yes.
Can we move to the next slide, please? What are we looking at in this graph?
So you're looking at the hand acceleration over time. So you can see that because, as you saw in the previous video and slides, the hand initially made contact with the taillight. So that gets accelerated up first. So we're getting peak accelerations in this test for the hand of about 254 Gs. And yes, over a period of about a little over 6 seconds six milliseconds or so.
What was the arm or the appendage outfitted with to determine the data on this graph?
Right, so if you think back to the lab testing that we did, right, because we didn't have, and again, this is kind of why we did the testing incrementally as we went about it, but we, in the lab test, we didn't have a way to mount the lift gate assembly to also evaluate that interaction. So when we moved outside the full scale vehicle testing, we had a lift gate taillight, obviously the full vehicle. So we also instrumented the hand with an accelerometer as well as the forearm. So we were able to measure the acceleration of both the hand and the forearm in these tests.
Can we move to the next slide, please? And what are we looking at here?
So this is the acceleration of the arm. So you can see that it reaches a peak around 5 milliseconds at about, looks like just under 200 Gs.
And the next slide. What's depicted in this graph?
So this is doing, again, the integration of the acceleration data for the hand to determine what speed did the hand get accelerated up to. And you can see that at the onset of this, it's at rest, it's impacted, and then gets up almost to 15 miles an hour in 4 milliseconds. Ultimately does reach at about 18 milliseconds, it does reach that 15, but it's nearly at 15 at contact.
Thank you. The next slide, please. And what is this delta V showing us?
So this is showing the change in speed of the arm. And again, because the hand was and the wrist was more of the central impact to the ATD arm, this ultimately saw less acceleration, therefore less of a change in speed. So at around 6 milliseconds, roughly actually about 1 millisecond after it started to increase in acceleration, it's at about 5 miles per hour.
Is that reflected in the fact that the arm pivoted?
Yes.
And spun?
It's there's some rotation going on, so okay. It's not translating or accelerating.
Understood. Can we move to the next slide, please? Test D. What was the speed that you undertook in test D as in delta?
So this is a 29 mile per hour impact into the suspended hybrid arm.
We move to the next slide. What are we looking at in this series of photographs?
So on the left is my colleague again compressing the taillight while we install the upper tail, the lift gate taillight to again try to maintain that steady state temperature. Over here on the right is the thermal image of the taillight after the install. So the average temperature of this taillight during the test was approximately 17 degrees Fahrenheit.
Next slide, please. Staying with test D, what is this depicting?
This is a drone video showing a top-down perspective of the test with the Lexus starting on the left-hand part of the screen, accelerating in reverse into the suspended hybrid arm over here at the location of the forklift.
Okay, if we could watch this video, please. Do your next slides show, there you go, the suspended arm. What are we looking at here?
So this is a video camera that was positioned on top of the forklift looking down at the arm. So you'll see the vehicle move from bottom to top as this video plays.
By the way, Dr. Wolf, what are the purple and white lines that we see have predominated? I'm sorry, I was talking over that.
Sorry.
What are the purple and white lines that we see?
So those are guidelines to help. I will note that this is kind of like a needle in a haystack. It's very hard to hit this small of a target. So just served as a guideline to reference as we're accelerating rearward into this.
Is this in real time?
This is in real time, yes.
What's the speed that the vehicle is entering the frame at?
29 miles per hour.
Thank you. What happened to the arm in terms of its suspension?
It actually gets ripped off from the mounting location.
Is there a reason you believe physically that that arm was ripped off from the suspension tethers?
Well, certainly there was enough force to break the tie lines to the forklift.
Was there a test value of those tie lines?
I think they were rated at 150 pounds.
What does that suggest in terms of the force that was exerted? Just before we get to the other testing, the force that was exerted on the arms to tear off the tie lines?
Well, it indicates that the arm saw at least 150 pounds of force.
Okay. Next slide, please. What are we looking at in this video?
So this is going to be a slow motion video. You'll see the Lexus accelerate in reverse, making contact with the arm. And again, this is the 29 mile per hour impact test.
Okay. Next slide, please. And what is this?
This is a video, a high-speed video, so slow motion, of Test D at 29 miles per hour into the ATD arm that is suspended. So you'll see the Lexus enter the frame from the right and impact the arm.
Okay. Was this strike more reflective of what you were attempting to replicate?
Yes, this was a more central impact to the arm, yes.
Thank you. Next slide, please. And what is this?
So this is a high-speed or slow-motion video depicting the Test D at 29 miles per hour, just a different perspective than the previous video.
Okay. Next slide. And what are we looking at here?
So this is extracted frames from the high-speed video. So starting out left to right, this is roughly at first contact with the majority of the hand, well, the hand and majority of the forearm in contact with the liftgate taillight, with a portion of the elbow in contact with the quarter panel taillight.
Can I stop you right there on that far left frame? Is that... Does that fairly replicate what you were attempting to approximate in terms of the orientation of the arm versus the taillight?
Yes, more of a central impact compared to that first test at 15, yes.
Is that more or less consistent with what you saw in Dr. Welcher's test where he had his arm in that still shot associated with the geometry of the car?
Sustained.
Is this consistent with what you were trying to replicate after your review of Dr. Welcher's report?
Yes.
Sustained. Can I ask it differently?
What were you trying to replicate, or why were you trying to replicate this at the 29 mile an hour test in this particular orientation?
We were trying to see, based upon Dr. Welcher's orientation, what happens to the arm in terms of the acceleration and the damage to the taillight at that configuration at contact.
Okay, next slide, please. What are we looking at?
So this is a photograph depicting the damage to the liftgate taillight as well as the quarter panel taillight.
And what do you note in terms of that damage?
So on the liftgate taillight, a significant portion of that thick 5mm red outer lens is fractured and broken off. The underlying diffusers are still in place. There was a small crack in, I believe it was the upper diffuser here. The quarter panel taillight had the clear section damaged with the outer lens missing, along with some fragments from the outer portion of the red part of the lens.
Next slide, please. What are we looking at in this slide?
So this is another photograph depicting the quarter panel taillight. As I indicated, there is portions of the red lens cover missing. The interior diffusers remained largely intact in this test.
Next slide. What is this side-by-side depicting?
This is showing the results of the 29 mile per hour impact test to the test vehicle compared to that of the subject taillight.
Given that orientation of test D, were you able to reach any opinions or conclusions as to whether or not the damage to the subject taillight is consistent with striking an arm at 29 miles per hour?
It was inconsistent.
What's the basis for that opinion, Dr. Wolf?
The results of this test.
And was that testing conducted in accordance with the scientific literature and generally accepted methodologies in the field of accident reconstruction?
Yes.
Is the damage to the right rear taillight consistent with striking John O'Keefe's arm at 29 miles per hour? When I say the right rear taillight, I mean of the subject vehicle.
Okay. Sustained is to that.
With regard to your opinion concerning whether the subject taillight is consistent with striking an arm at 29 miles per hour, do you hold that opinion to a reasonable degree of scientific certainty?
Yes.
Next slide, please. What is depicted in this graph?
So this is looking at the acceleration of the hand in the 29 mile per hour impact test with peak accelerations close to 800 Gs at 2 milliseconds.
Next slide, please. What are we looking at in this graph?
This is the acceleration of the arm reaching peak acceleration of about 500 Gs.
You indicated 800 Gs in the last graph. What's the difference? What's the difference in the delta between the 500 and the 800?
Between the hand and the arm?
Understood. Which one suffered or was subject to 800 Gs?
That would be the hand.
And which one was subject to the 500 Gs?
That would be the arm.
Next slide, please. What are we looking at in this graph?
So this is looking at the change in speed. So what speed did the hand get up to as a result of the impact? So we can see that in about 3 milliseconds, the arm is moving nearly at almost 25 miles per hour. And then a little bit later, again, this is still very quick in time, at about 14 milliseconds, it's at about 30 miles per hour.
Next slide, please. What's depicted in this graph?
So this is looking at the change in speed of the arm as a result of the contact. So starting here at about 2 milliseconds, the arm accelerates up to, by 8 milliseconds, we're at about 35 miles per hour. And this, you may be wondering, why are we getting more speed than what the input was? And that's because you get a phenomenon known as restitution. Basically, there's an elastic collision between the two where you can get almost a bouncing effect. So when you have something that weighs 6,000 pounds striking something that's much, much lighter than that, it can actually cause it to accelerate up to a greater velocity than the impact speed.
Next slide, please. Test E, 24 mile an hour impact test. What is that?
So this is a 24 mile an hour impact test to the ATD arm attached to a test dummy.
Next slide, please. Why did you utilize 24 miles an hour for this test?
So it's my understanding that this is the upper end. There is a triggering event of, I believe it's 1162.2, and I think at the end of that data, the speed is approximately 24 miles per hour. So we did a test at the end point, if you will, in that data set.
What is this photograph showing in terms of the orientation of the arm and the hybrid test dummy, or ATD?
So the orientation is to depict, again, the orientation that Dr. Welcher indicated in his static and dynamic test to show what happens when again, that ATD arm that we had is attached to a test dummy and is struck at 24 miles per hour.
Next slide, please. And what is this?
So this is a thermal image of the taillights just after the install with the average temperature at about just over 33 degrees Fahrenheit.
Next slide. And what are we looking at?
So you're looking at a top-down drone video with the Lexus here on the left that will accelerate in reverse up to 24 miles an hour, striking the ATD arm.
Let's watch that, please. Next slide. What are we looking at in this slide?
So this is a top-down video from atop of the forklift or where the arm is suspended attached to the dummy. So you're going to see the vehicle enter from the bottom into going to the top of the screen.
Next slide. What is this view?
It's just another perspective. This is a slow motion video where you'll see the Lexus in reverse. I think this one actually has kind of a long build up before it starts here.
And could we go to the next slide, please? And what is this?
So this is a perspective from the high-speed camera, so a slow-motion video with the Lexus reversing into the ATD arm at 24 miles per hour.
Before you play this, Dr. Wolf, I failed to ask this. It may be obvious. After each of the tests, C, D, E, F, were you replacing the taillight with new exemplar taillights that had been temperature accounted for?
Yes, every test had a new set of quarter panel taillights, as well as liftgate taillights. And even in the test where the taillight in the 50 mile an hour test where the taillight was not damaged, we still put on new taillights. We did not repurpose or reuse any of the taillights.
Okay, thank you. If you could play this for us, please. Next slide. In this configuration, was the ATD outfitted with the hoodie that you've earlier described?
Yes.
At the time you outfitted the ATD with the hoodie in this configuration before this test E, did you confirm that the sleeve, the right sleeve, was damaged or undamaged?
After this test?
No, before.
Before? It was undamaged before the test.
Okay. What are we looking at in this slide?
So this is still frames from the high speed. So starting out on the left here, just at contact. So the forearm making contact with the liftgate taillight, and then the upper part of the forearm and the elbow making contact, a direct hit into the quarter panel taillight. And the middle here is just after contact. And on the right is post contact.
Thank you. Next slide, please. What are we looking at in this video or in this picture?
So this is a overall photograph depicting the taillights subsequent to this test at 24 miles per hour. I will note that there's no damage to the liftgate taillight, and then there is damage to the quarter panel taillight.
Is there any damage to the internal diffusers on this taillight?
So if I go to the next photograph, if I may.
Please.
So you can see here, there is this kind of thicker, it's actually not a crack. So I'm looking at the clear diffuser here with the dots that you see. This line that you see, kind of opaque. I don't know if you've got a laser pointer to.
Go to Maya?
Yes.
Just so there's no confusion, thank you. So the line right here is that's part of the assembly. So that's just a part of how the plastic is molded. There is a very small crack right here in the underlying diffuser, but all of the remaining part of the diffuser in terms of this portion here and here are all intact, and same with this portion of it.
What about the chrome piece that's running between the diffusers?
I don't believe that was damaged during this test, no.
And what about the clear acrylic toward the top left of that taillight housing?
It was partially fractured, but not the entire outer portion of it.
Next slide, please. What is this depicting?
So this is a photograph depicting the quarter panel taillight subsequent to the 24 mile an hour impact test with the ATD arm compared to that of the subject taillight.
Based on this test, were you able to reach any opinions and conclusions as to whether the damage to the subject taillight is consistent with striking John O'Keefe's arm at 24 miles an hour?
Sustained in that form.
Were you able to reach any opinions or conclusions as to whether the damage to the subject taillight is consistent with striking an arm at 24 miles per hour?
Based upon the test results, it's inconsistent with striking an arm.
On what do you base that opinion?
I base it upon the test results that I've shown in terms of the video and the data acquisition.
Can you describe that in a little bit more detail?
So during this test, we had the instrumented hybrid arm outstretched from the test dummy with the accelerometer on the hand and the forearm. We had data acquisition on the vehicle monitoring the speeds of the vehicle. We accelerated that vehicle into the arm at 24 miles an hour to conduct a dynamic impact test to collect data certainly about the acceleration that the arm experienced, but then also make observations about the damage that we observed to the taillight.
Do you hold that opinion that we've just discussed to a reasonable degree of scientific certainty?
Yes.
And were your tests conducted in accordance with methodologies that are generally accepted in the field of accident reconstruction in this particular test cycle?
Yes.
Next slide, please. What are we looking at in this series of photos?
So these are photographs depicting, the test clothing. Again, prior to the test, there were no holes or damage to the sweatshirt. That was the same post-test. We did not make any observations with respect to any fraying, holes, punctures to the material of the sleeve.
Was there any damage whatsoever observed on the right sleeve of that ATD?
No.
Next slide, please. What are we looking at in terms of this graph?
So what you're looking at in this graph is the acceleration of the hand reaching a peak acceleration just after 10 milliseconds of approximately 435 Gs.
Next slide. What are we looking at here?
This is the acceleration of the arm during this 24 mile an hour impact test, reaching peak Gs of about 300 at 4 milliseconds.
And the next slide. What is this delta V graph showing us?
So this is showing the change in speed of the hand as a result of the impact, ultimately getting up to approximately 24 miles an hour, which again is the impact velocity of the Lexus.
And how fast did it get up to 24 miles an hour?
About 10 milliseconds or less.
Next slide, please. And what is this delta V showing us?
This is showing the change in speed of the arm going to about 22 miles per hour at about 10 milliseconds. So total window of time of about 8 milliseconds that it took to get up to that 22 mile an hour speed or so.
Understood. And next slide, please. Did you undertake, another question. On that, when the ATD was oriented in test E, as an echo, where it was standing with its right arm out, and the impact was on the right arm, what happened to the mass of the body of the ATD?
It rotated.
Was it projected at all off to the side?
No.
Was it projected rearward?
No.
Was that rotation expected based on your experience?
Yes.
What is the 29 mile an hour impact test in test F?
So this was a test that we conducted with a what's known as a rescue Randy or a test dummy that was a full-on impact to the right rear corner of the Lexus.
Let's take a look at the next slide, please. With regard to test E, if I could please ask you about that, I would go back to that test even though we're looking at this one. With test E, was that reflective of a direct impact on the arm itself?
Correct, right in the area of the elbow to the quarter panel taillight.
As opposed to a side swipe on the arm?
Correct, yes.
Thank you. Did you undertake to test a direct impact on the body of the ATD in this test?
Of the Rescue Randy dummy?
Yes.
Yes.
What are we looking at here?
So this is the intended impact configuration with the Rescue Randy suspended here by the forklift, and again, kind of in the path of the profile at that right rear corner.
How much does this test dummy weigh?
Approximately 200 pounds.
Next slide, please. What are we looking at in this photograph?
So this is a video. We had a little bit of a false start, so our high speeds weren't triggered, but thankfully we were able to pull our surveillance video to get at least an overall video of the test taking place.
Do you have, or did, well, let me ask you that, you intended, did you intend to have high speed video just like you've had in every other test?
Yes.
What went wrong? Something
just miscommunication clicked between the driver and the rest of the test engineers.
Got it.
So false start.
Okay. Was the taillight housing reassembled for this test?
Yes, it had a preconditioned new set of taillights on it.
And other than the taillight being damaged several times that we've seen, was there any other damage to the rear of that exemplar vehicle?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Sure. Other than the taillight damage that you rotated through in your testing, C through F, was there any other inherent damage to the tail, the lift gate that existed when the exemplar vehicle was received by you?
When it was received, no. It was okay. In good condition. No defects or damage were noted.
Okay. What are we going to expect to see in this video?
So in this video, you'll see in the surveillance video, the Lexus will come from the right to left, strike the Rescue Randy, and then you'll see the Rescue Randy projected and slide on the ground.
Okay. Can you play that one more time, please? Next slide, please. What are we looking at in this series of photographs?
So this is a extract from our VBox software and data acquisition system. So on the top, you'll see the video. On the bottom is the data. So this is another feed that we had of video. This was triggered, so we do have data from this perspective. So what you'll see is my colleague will move away from the assembly with the dry ice, and then the vehicle will accelerate in reverse.
That was my question. The blue, that's dry ice gloves?
You don't want to touch dry ice with your bare hands. So okay. It's, he's wearing gloves. He's capturing the thermal images now.
Next slide, please. And what are we looking at in this?
So these are extracted frames from that video you just saw from the data acquisition system. So on the left here is just before contact between the test dummy and the Lexus. On the right is just at contact.
Next slide, please. And what are we seeing in these series of photos?
So this is obviously during the collision sequence. The body now has loaded into the lift gate and the back window What you're seeing here is the back window shattering. And this is just a few split second later in time where, again, the body is continuing to move with the vehicle as it's contacted.
Next slide. And what is this?
This depicts the post-impact damage to the rear of the Lexus. As I noted, the rear window is completely shattered. There's deformation and crush to the liftgate section of the vehicle. The bumper step was popped out, and then there was some minor fracturing in the bumper cover at the lower level.
Did you note anything regarding the internal components of the Exemplar taillight, even at this direct impact?
So the taillight, as you could see, it blew out the outer lens cover. I believe the part of the clear diffusers were actually still in place. I think the lower one might have been fractured here, but I think the upper one was still in place.
At 29 miles an hour with a direct impact, did the Exemplar taillight exhibit the same type of damage to the diffuser as the subject taillight?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
More or less damage in this photo to the diffuser specifically than in the subject taillight?
Well, I think there was more in the subject taillight. As I mentioned, I believe the top diffuser
more
on this
damage?
Correct.
Okay. That was my question. And is there another slide at the on the back end of this one?
That's it.
Okay. We can have the lights. Dr. Wolf, you conducted tests at what miles per hour? Tell me the sequence.
It would be 10 miles per hour, 17 miles per hour, 15 miles per hour, 29 miles per hour, 24 miles per hour, and then a full-on hit at 29 miles per hour.
Regarding all of the tests you conducted, what did you observe with regard to the damage, if any, to the internal components of the quarter panel taillight? And I'm talking about the chrome pieces and the diffusers.
It was less in all of the tested taillights than that of the subject taillight.
Did you reach any opinions or conclusions as to whether the damage to the right rear taillight of the subject 2021 Lexus is consistent with an impact to John O'Keefe's right arm during a high-speed reversing maneuver?
Sustained in that form, Mr. Jackson.
Did you reach any opinions or conclusions as to whether the damage to the right rear taillight of the subject vehicle is consistent or inconsistent with an impact to a right arm during a high-speed reversing maneuver?
It was inconsistent.
What's the basis for that opinion?
All of the test data that we did from the laboratory testing moving up to full-scale vehicle testing, all of the collected data in terms of the photographs, the observations, all the acceleration data collected. So all of the testing that we've walked through in this PowerPoint, along with certainly that was based upon all generally accepted and peer-reviewed methodologies in the accident reconstruction community.
Do you hold that opinion to a reasonable degree of scientific certainty based on your experience, training, and education?
Yes.
Did you reach any opinions or conclusions as to relating to the punctures or holes in the hoodie that you saw that was related to John O'Keefe?
Yes.
Do you have an opinion or conclusion as to whether or not the damage that you saw to the hoodie related to John O'Keefe is consistent or inconsistent with a impact from a right rear taillight of the subject SUV?
It was inconsistent.
And what do you base that opinion on?
Based upon all of the impact testing that we did with the closed ATD arm in the laboratory as well as the field.
In any of the testing that you did you ever see taillight pieces cut, puncture, or fray the sleeve of that hoodie?
No.
The Exemplar hoodie, I should say.
Correct.
Did you reach any opinions or conclusions as to whether the rear taillight of the subject SUV was involved in a center of mass strike of a pedestrian at a high speed rearward maneuver?
Yes.
What is your opinion?
That the damage to the subject Lexus is inconsistent with a center of mass hit.
What do you base that opinion on?
The testing that we conducted in that last test that you just saw.
Do you hold that opinion to a reasonable degree of scientific certainty, Dr. Wolf?
Yes.
Thank you. That's all I have.
All right. Is this a good place for a break, or do you want to get started?
Of course, preference.
Lunch is not good yet.
Jurors, why don't we let you have your lunch?
Okay. So we'll come back. We'll come back ready to go at 1:30.
All right. All rise in court, please.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com. Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com. Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com. Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.